Well, good morning, everybody. It's really nice to be here. I know we've got one visitor this morning from Sydney. Welcome, Kate. You're probably disappointed. You would have thought that Trevor was speaking this morning, so that's bad luck. You can go. I worshipped a lot in Trevor's parish. Did a few weeks there while he and Greg were overseas. And Maroopna was always a difficult place. It was one of those places in the diocese that was always a troublesome child. And I must say that two of our former curates who were there before Trevor and Trevor's ministry over the last period of time really rejuvenated and gave life to that parish. And I'm sure that something of his ministry we will appreciate here in this parish. So it's great to be with you this morning, Trevor. Well, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings to us, and we pray that you might speak to us from your word this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 91 on page 600. You might like to open that psalm and just be reminded and look at it as we go through it. I'm going to look at the whole of the psalm, but let me begin by saying George is in the back there, and I, like George, have not preached on many of the psalms. But George also commented on how during the time of his ministry and ministering to a lady, she felt that that psalm really spoke to her because of the situation in which she found herself. Well, let me read to you something that has encouraged me. It's from John Stott. He really was a great man of God, loved the Word of God, was a scholar, and he wrote this little book on some of his favourite psalms. But on the back, it said this, which really gave me great encouragement. The reason why Christian people are drawn to the Psalms is that they speak the universal language of the human soul. Whatever our spiritual need may be, there is sure to be a Psalm which reflects it. Whether triumph or defeat, excitement or depression, joy or sorrow, praise or penitence, wonder or anger. Above all, the Psalms declare the greatness of the living God as Creator, Sustainer, King, Lawgiver, Saviour, Father, Shepherd and Judge. As we come to know Him better through the Psalter, we will fall down and worship Him. Don't you think that's a fantastic summary of what the Psalms are like? Well, as I said, I want to look at the whole of Psalm 91 this morning. So you might like to keep it open at page 60. Well, first let me say that this psalm is a psalm of assurance. We've just sung, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." What a coincidence, Campbell, that you played that this morning. What a coincidence. And this that hymn points to that fact, and so does this psalm. This psalm points to the power and the protection that comes from our God. The psalm can be divided up into three parts, with the first two verses expressing the faith of the writer. Whereas verses 3 to 13, the writer of the psalm addresses the believers. And in this case, it's you and me. With the final verses, 14 to 16, we hear God speaking to the writer and the reader of the psalm, with God himself confirming the believer's assurance and security. One of the things that a person needs in life is confidence. Confidence is a great thing. I think that confidence is gained by hard work, practice, developing skills, study, just to mention a few of the things that would assist us in building up our confidence. I never played cricket. Well, I shouldn't say that. I played one game in my life. These days at schools, a bus pulls up at the gate and everybody gets in the bus and they go to wherever it is that they're going to do their sport, picks them up and brings them back. In my day, like many of you, we used to get on our bikes and we'd ride to the next town, which was 10 kilometres or miles away. We'd play our sport, whether it was football, cricket or whatever, get on our bikes and ride back home. This particular day, we played cricket and I made 19 runs. I can remember that. But I wasn't a cricketer. However, I did make a run on the Adelaide Oval. Not many people have done that. I was at a conference over there. And this particular morning, as I walked down for my morning walk, I noticed that the gates of the Adelaide Oval were open. So I just sort of sorted through and looked around. The gate on the ground was open, so I ventured a bit further, got on the cricket ground, and ran like hell. And I came back and I said, just made a run on the Adelaide Oval. That's about the quality of my cricket. But there's no way that I would face a fast bowler bowling at 150 kilometres an hour. You know, even this desk wouldn't be big enough for me to hide behind. But there are those people who, because of their confidence, walk out on the middle of the oval, cricket ground, not just facing somebody playing bowling at 150 kilometres an hour, but they expect to hit him for a six. Now that's confidence. That's confidence, and it's come through practice and developing their skills. But I believe that the writer of our psalm had that confidence in his relationship with God. He had developed a strong and abiding confidence with God, and these opening two verses make that very clear. The Most High, the Almighty, the Lord is his refuge, his fortress, and the one whom he trusts. This is the believer's testimony. What's your testimony? What's your testimony? What would you say about God, the God in whom you believe and in whom you trust? What's your testimony about your relationship with the Lord? This God in whom he believes is a saving God, verse 3. He is a protecting God, and the psalmist uses the illustration of a bird with its chicks. Well, while I was thinking about this psalm, the thought came to me of a penguin that hasn't got any wings. You know, and it sort of waddles around, and it protects. It protects its chicks between its legs and the feathers. Well, I don't know about you, but I think that's just amazing. But more than that, the faithfulness of God is dependable. Verse 4. As a soldier had his shield for protection, so can we depend on the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord. What this means is that we should never fear what might happen in our lives, be it by day or by night, verse 5 and 6. This is not to say that everyone will escape. They won't. As the psalmist says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. In other words, sinners will reap their reward, while the believer can have confidence in the one in whom they trust. This is clear in verses 9 and 10 if you look at it. But now we come to two interesting verses of Scripture. Verses 11 and 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all their ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. We've heard that passage of scripture read twice this morning, in the psalm and in Luke. These are two verses are interesting because they are the only scripture that the devil quotes. We usually hear them read, of course, during Lent when Jesus was tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. But the devil misuses these verses. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised at that. He's the great deceiver. But look again at verses 9 and 11 of our gospel reading. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." The devil uses these verses as a temptation. He tells Jesus, jump. God has promised that his angels will look after you. Doesn't seem to be anything wrong with that, does it? But these verses are not to be taken in that way. These verses are not to be used as a temptation. These verses are an assurance for those who believe and who trust and who walk with the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord. For those who dwell, make God our dwelling place. This is the assurance that God gives to his people, not a temptation. The writer of the psalm in verse 13 then speaks about the lion and the serpent, the lion being the strongest animal and the serpent being the most subtle. Revelation 12 and verse 9 and 20 verse 1, Satan is referred to that ancient serpent. While in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 he describes the devil as prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There is no doubt that we need to be on our guard at all times, yet confident that we have a God who watches over us and who helps us to guard against this serpent and this lion. In the last three verses, 14 to 16, we hear God speaking in this psalm. And he begins by saying, because he loves me, because he loves me. Isn't that just fantastic? You know, I'd like to think that when Marge talks about me and I've done something, she says, it's because he loves me. Just wonderful words, aren't they? Because he loves me. You see, God knows who loves him. God knows who loves him. And if he knows who loves him, he knows who doesn't. It's not hidden from him. He knows who loves him and he knows who doesn't. This one whom God loves, God, will be rescued and protected. And why? Because he acknowledges God's name. Jesus could say, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. The believer, this person of faith, will call upon the Lord and the Lord will answer. The Lord will answer our prayers. God is trustworthy. We have this assurance. But the believer shouldn't expect to live a trouble-free life. You know, God doesn't put a fence around us, Christians. He doesn't put a fence around us. We don't live in a bubble. We're in the world. However, whatever the circumstances in which we find ourselves, God has promised to be with us. And the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before his ascension was, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wonderful assurance, isn't it? The psalm ends with a promise. Verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Did the writer of the psalm write more than he knew? Was the writer of the psalm so inspired that the life and salvation he speaks about was to be found in Jesus Christ? Of course, we don't know. But what we do know is that it's only in and through our Lord Jesus Christ that long life, eternal life, is possible. And his death and his resurrection assures us of that. And Peter could say, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You know, Psalm 91 is a wonderful psalm of encouragement and of assurance. And I can sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Can you? Can you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assurance that you give us in knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Saviour, the one who gives life, life not only on this side of the grave, but on the other side of the grave as well. We thank you that you love us. You can say, because he loves me. And we can say, because he loves us. We thank you for your love. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.